Welcome to another edition of NDTI's Talking Inclusion podcast. My name's Drew Edwards, and today I'm joined by Gemma and Paul talking about autism and ageing. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Please, can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having me. So my name is Gemma Williams. I'm an autistic academic based at the University of Brighton. I currently have a Economic and Social Research Council postdoctoral fellowship. That's a mouthful. And I'm an associate with the NDTI as well.
That is a mouthful. That's a lot. That's brilliant.
Hi, I'm Paul Gutherson. I'm the development lead for ageing older people at NDTI.
Thank you both. If I can come to you first, please, Gemma. How did you get involved in this autism and ageing big conversation project?
I finished my PhD about a year ago, and when I was doing it, I was reading a lot of literature about autism and autism research, and I just really noticed that so much of it was biased toward children and young people, and there just wasn't really any mention of autistic people over the age of sort of 45 or 50. And I'd been following Cos Michael, who's an autistic advocate, on social media, and I was just sort of watching her, noticing the absence of policy and interest in the needs of older autistic people. So with Cos and I came to speak to Madeline and Equal Lives team and NDTI and Jill from the autism team, and the project sort of came out of that. And the idea of the conversation starters came from those early discussions, that with the idea of getting real people's voices about the issues that are important to them heard.
And as a not-for-profit organisation, NDTI sometimes uses some of its surplus to fund some kind of exploratory and discovery kind of work. So we thought this was a good area to explore. It's a bit of a, let's see if we can kickstart a conversation around things that are of importance to people and see where it shapes that journey. If you like, does it mean that we end up trying to give greater voice, in policy conversations to people, or does it mean that we go and try and apply some pressure to other organisations to fund more research into ageing and the experiences of autistic people as they age? Because what's been nice about the conversation starters is that they cover all aspects of life, really.
So Gemma, why is this particularly important to you now, and how did you choose the themes that you wrote about?
Yeah, I don't know if I've got a simple reason why it's important to me. I'm in my late 30s at the moment, and I've got autistic friends, and they're all different ages. I'm friends with some older people, but it felt like this was another point in life where people become invisible, and that sense of invisibility really matters to me. And so the topic I chose was, I could talk about my personal experiences of being autistic, but I couldn't really talk about, being older yet. So I had some research awareness of issues around social isolation and loneliness, which are big problems for autistic people generally, and also big problems for older people generally. So it seemed like a really important crossover point. And I also, in the conversation starter, I reflect on a recent loss of an autistic friend who's my age, and it felt very recent and poignant and relevant and important to discuss, like the difficulty of reaching older age, because there are so many barriers to get there, and then being older and autistic, there's so little support anyway. So I just thought that was an important issue to think about.
Yes, your particular story did resonate with me, mostly because my eldest child, who's autistic, had already mentioned some of those things that he's very concerned about. And he's quite a young person, he's 24, and is already concerned about how he's going to age and whether he will be reaching the life goals and what that means for him as an autistic person as he gets older.
What we've done is try to create a space where autistic people can have that conversation themselves. And then we can work with those people, say, right, well, these are the important issues. What can we do about it? Where can we go next?
And I'll come back to that what next part. But firstly, Gemma, you mentioned your research. Were there any other things that came out of your research that pointed you towards the type of conversation starters you needed?
My main area of research was around communication between autistic and non-autistic people. But to get the data that I got, we had a lot of, there was a project with a lot of conversations between strangers. Some of them were autistic, some weren't autistic. And the topic of those conversations was loneliness. And I thought it would be a relevant topic, but I was surprised how moving it was for people when they took part, because everyone that came were kind of describing their experiences of struggling to make themselves understood or struggling to find a place for themselves in society. And on the flip side, that when they'd met other neurodivergent people, that they often felt more comfortable and that they could be themselves. And you know, these sort of sensory barriers to entering public spaces, and also in the lives of friends that I have who are neurodivergent, that this social isolation and loneliness is such a common thread. I wanted to sort of nod to that and think about what that might mean as you get older as well, because the networks that we have often shrink as we get older. So yeah, it just seemed really important.
What do you hope people will do with the conversation starters? What do you hope they'll do with them, and what will happen next?
I hope that they will go beyond the autistic community. I imagine the first kind of readers will be autistic people, but I hope that it goes beyond that, because I'm finding that actually people are really interested. Non-autistic people, neurotypical people are really interested, but maybe aren't exposed to these kind of personal accounts. And when they have the chance to hear them, it seems like people are really willing to make changes. So I've seen, I did some work with Blackpool Council recently, and they're looking to have a whole town approach to autism across all the different services, and, you know, work that the NDTI has done with different NHS trusts. People are really keen. So I hope that they'll generate some momentum and movement toward being aware of older autistic people, just the existence of them, and then adapting services and, you know, supporting their needs.
How did you come about with the theme? So Gemma's talked about how she came up with her themes. What about the other themes? How did they come forward? Did you ask people to write about specific subjects, or did they come up with the ideas themselves?
So the themes that are in the conversation starters were driven very much by the people that we invited to get involved. So we used our own networks and the networks of the autistic associates that we already work with to sort of ask and invite a few people to write some conversation starters just to get things going. And we simply asked, what is important to you? Share what's important to you. And actually that meant that we ended up with lots of different themes. We didn't get lots of repetition, which was nice.
And I noticed we've given people a template so they can suggest conversation starters as well. It's a brilliant idea, because there'll be lots of things that we haven't thought of.
Yeah, well, what we're hoping that people will do with that, those conversation starters and that template, is that they will share their experiences, whether they are good experiences or bad, and also their hopes and fears around their autistic lives, their futures, if you like, and what they hope might happen. What we're trying to build is a conversation, and that's why we called it that, a big conversation where people can add their voice to this conversation, and we can, so that we can hopefully amplify those voices. And we'd love people to just write in that template and share those additional conversations. People can also respond by there's a survey where people, if they don't feel that they want to write a full kind of conversation started, that they can share their thoughts. What we hope is that lots of people will get involved in this conversation, and that gives us some sense of what's important and what we might look to do next, or who we might need to go and talk to next. What doors? Somebody said this to me the other day. The job is more to go and find out what doors to knock on so that something can change. And that's what we hope will come from the conversation.
And as well as filling in the survey, there is a comment section at the end of each conversation starter, and I've seen some of those comments already. They're brilliant. I mean, I love this whole idea. It's brilliant. What are we going to do with it? And is there a time limit attached to this, or are we going to just let it run and see where it goes?
Yeah. The moment it's kind of going to run. That's the idea. We're going to run and see where it gets to. We have got a notion of probably at some point in June of pulling together what we've heard at that point into a kind of, I suppose, if we're going to be fancy, into a white paper kind of idea that pulls it together and says, look, this is what we've heard, and these are thoughts from people who've contributed as to what might happen next. And that what might happen next might be a push for a wider awareness raising campaign about the challenges of aging and as an autistic person. Or it might be that, as I said, you know, it might be that what we do is we push funding bodies to say, actually, there's a big need for more research here. Or it might be that actually it helps NDTI and other organisations to argue a case for why there needs to be improved support for people as they get a late diagnosis, because there are different issues that come around from a late diagnosis than perhaps if you were diagnosed as a young person. So we're very open to how that's shaped. And at the moment, as I say, it will run until the conversation stops, I guess. But what we will try and do is find other ways, I think, as well, to try and fund more work around this conversation. So as themes arise from the conversation, we might try to find additional funding to explore that further ourselves.
So if people are interested in this, the best thing they can do is actually start talking about it and join the conversation.
Absolutely.
So there's the project page on the NDTI website, which is housing the conversation starters, the link to the survey, and the, you know, the routes to reply to comment. And if they want more information, there's Paul's email. People are welcome. They're very welcome to get in touch with me as well, Twitter or email me.
That's brilliant. So we've launched these last week as part of Autism Acceptance Week, and they're running this week and next week, and we're featuring one each day. So if you want to join the conversation, you can either go to the website ndti.org.uk and click on the conversation starter banner, which is on the front of the website, and that will take you through to all the information that we've mentioned here. Or follow us on our social media channels and click each one as you find something of interest. And just get involved, I think, is what we're saying here. That's fantastic. So thank you both for joining me. And I hope everybody else can join us again in 2 weeks' time for another edition of Talking Inclusion.